Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so now Garunga Nagari. Rasa Basa Bhaktas. Quote, okay, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. From the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an intelligent person engaged in pure devotional service can understand that he always felt separation from Krishna within himself. In that separation, he sometimes felt he had found Krishna and was enjoying the meeting. The significance of this separation and meeting is very specific. If someone tries to understand the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya without knowing this, he is sure to misunderstand it. One must first become fully self-realized. Otherwise, he may misidentify the Lord as Nagara or the enjoyer of the damsels of Braja, thus committing the mistake of Rasa Abhas, or overlapping understanding. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 4106 purport. Right? So this gives the essential point, right? Because in all these, there's an essential point that's been missed. So for them, it's that Lord Chaitanya is not never in the mood of Nagara. He's in the mood of the devotee who is separated from and sometimes with Krishna. So that's the mood. That's his enjoyment. But they try to turn him into Krishna and enjoying with the gopis and things like that. Does that make sense? This is the big mistake. So therefore, that's why they're Rasa Basa. So Nagar means enjoyer. So the Gauranga Nagaris means, you know, who Gauranga is the enjoyer. Does that make sense? Because he has his times in the day when he goes through, does different things. So they'll do that like the Astakali Alili of Krishna. They'll do that with Gauranga, but make him the enjoyer rather than he is the devotee trying to, as the Ashray. Does that make sense? In other words, he's taking the mood of Ashray, but they try to put him into the position of Vishay. He is the Vishay, but he's not taking the mood of the Vishay. So it's the mood that establishes what you are. The Gauranga Nagaris are quite prominent in Bengal and Bangladesh. Hourly, they appear as regular Bengali Vaishnavas, but there's a subtle Sahaja contamination in the conception of Lord Chaitanya's mood of devotion. Thus, their position is strongly refuted by the Acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Even though other aspects of the sect may seem praiseworthy, like staunch Vaishnavas, they wear tilak and neck beads, are good kirtan performers, and strictly abstain from flesh and fish. Right, so they're more strict than the Sahajiyas in this way. Because the Sahajiyas, it's all about not following the rules. Right? Their rule is we don't follow the rules. You know, but here, they follow nicely the rules. But the mood is completely wrong. In his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.23.31, Srila Prabhupada focuses on the Sahaja contamination that the Gauranga Nagaris represent. Right? Because anyway, it's still Sahaja, it's still this easy path of just, you're not really worrying about what's the reality, it's just what you feel like, right? So you have the same element. That's why the author had originally said that technically you just have Sahajiyas and so many sub-branches of what is the variety of Sahaja. Right? Okay, quote, sometimes the Sahaja class of devotees are interested only in Krishna's personal pastimes to the exclusion of the activities of the devotees. End quote. But such an attitude can only baffle the attempt to comprehend the person and activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Because if you're only worried about Krishna and you're not worried about his, you know, and his personal passion of the gopis, but you don't understand the whole thing with all the devotees, how, as you surrender, he reciprocates, then you're not going to appreciate the person and activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes.
What they
get their scriptures? I'm not sure. Does it come up where they got their basis?
Yeah, because, well, one of them is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he also worshipped Gaura Gadadhar, and so that's Radharani and Krishna together.
Uh-huh.
So they deviate in that sense.
So they took it from that time, so it's more of a newer...
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, because the Sahajiya goes back to the Buddhist time, so they're actually thousands of years old.
Specifically Gaudiya, though, not necessarily Buddhist.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that came into the Buddhist one.
Yeah.
But, oh, I see, it doesn't have anything outside. It doesn't have a representation.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're more new. So, see. Because, in other words, it's Gaura Gadadhar, because it's Radha and Krishna, but still Krishna is taking the mood of Radharani. Enjoying and trying to serve in that way, but Radharani always wants to be with Krishna, and so she's there to assist him assisting. Does that make sense? In other words, what is happening here? Okay, as we were discussing in the morning, then you have the Yukteswari. You have others who are Nayikas, but the point is their position of Nayika is in relationship to the Yukteswari. Right? Means the other Shakis. Means the highly qualified Shakis. Then, to the juniors, they're Nayikas. But to the Yukteswari, they're Sakis. Right? So then, in this case, then Krishna is taking the mood of Radharani. So who's the Yukteswari here? You understand? Means Lord Chaitanya is the Yukteswari. Right? So then Gadadhar is taking the position of Saki, assisting. But they don't catch this. But the point is Radha and Krishna like to be together, so they're together, but still the mood is like this. The mood isn't Radha and Krishna, they're interacting. So the Gauranga Nagaris, it's that Gaura Gadadhar is Radha and Krishna together and they're enjoying as Radha and Krishna. No, Radha and Krishna are together, but they're in the mood of that service. Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani serving Krishna, and Radharani is taking the mood of servant to Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's...
But they don't have this concept of servant. Also.
It means they may render service, but the point is that, you know, Krishna's the enjoyer, so then, you know, it's just another way of getting your bile moving and stuff and getting all emotional. And, you know, still cheap emotion and stuff like that. So in other words, if you look at them, the Sahaji or the Gauranga Nagari, basically in the Kirtan, they may be basically the same. Though it appears that the Gauranga Nagaris would probably be a little bit more properly dressed and everything and not look like such slobs. But the Sahajas tend to be a little bit more, you know, not so worried about it. Yes.
One thing I heard too, they actually have a temple over by Gauranga.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because Gadadhar there and Murti there is quite buxom, quite well developed, you could say. It's very bizarre. But anyways, they claim that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's children, he had two that represented two branches of the tradition. One was the Goshtiya Nandi, which is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the other is the Bhajana Nandi, which was entrusted to, I think, Lalita Prasad was his name,
Another
son. And so they're followers of Lalita Prasad. They say that they follow his more esoteric branch of...
Okay, but did Lalita Prasad himself start this, or just they've interpreted how he deals in that way?
I believe it was Lalita Prasad who had this move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Because on other sides, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not impressed, because when Bhaktivinoda Thakur died, he had him cremated rather than put him in samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's comment is, you see him as Baba, not as, but I see him as Radha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's representing Radharani, but you're seeing him just as my father. So as your father, yes, then you're cremated. But if he's seeing him as representing Radharani, why wouldn't you put him in samadhi? That, you know, that's all we've heard. But, you know, he seems to be, you know, on his own level quite advanced. But the point is that's why I was asking, is he the one that had that completely, that, you know, it means actually, the development of the Gauranga Nagaris, is it him or is it those after?
I'm just remembering now because Vrindavan Das Thakur, he refutes the philosophy in Chaitanya Bhagavat, so it was even current.
Current before.
Yeah,
so it's part. Just maybe he worshipped Gauragadhar and they're trying to, means that particular branch is trying to connect themselves to the Lipa Shad. I don't think all Gauranga Nagaris connect themselves to the Lipa Shad.
Okay.
You know, it's just it sounds good.
Yeah,
it seems to, you know, they feel that it works for them, but it doesn't. It doesn't work for Lord Chaitanya. Let's say, put it that way. You know. Okay.
Any scripture this
time? That I'm not sure.
Yeah, they follow something by Vamsi Vadana Thakur called Vamsi Saka.
Vamsi Shiksha.
Yeah. They claim, because Vamsi Vadana Thakur was the incarnation of Krishna's flute. I think he was a contemporary of Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
So they follow him. At least this branch does.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're following, means that they're actually following the way the person was
they're
doing. They're just creating their own.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Adi Lila 1.1.14 states, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupas Rupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his feature as a devotee. Features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. The Gauranga Nagaris are not interested in Lord Chaitanya as a devotee or in his five features as the Panchatattva. They desire to relate to Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself, particularly as Lampat, It's funny how you just change the context of it and you can't read it. Yata tata va vidhatu lampato. Except to move the va over and then it works. He is a debauchee, so it is his nature to do as he likes. They style him as Nagar and themselves as Nagari. Right? Because that he can do what he likes, so the point is, the sense he's not there to tell you whatever, as the Nagari, you say he wants to do or he's doing. Then then you just do what you like. You understand? So it again comes back to that sahajya element of just doing what you like. So it's basically the mode of ignorance. Like that. The Gauranga Nagari doctrine is very brief, yet very briefly and yet very completely explained by Srila Prabhupada in several purports of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. A few relevant quotes are as follows. Quote, the Gauranga Nagaris, who place Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed, are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Lord Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. They're just totally different things. They're just looking at the external position. Right? It's the interesting, they're taking him as Krishna, as technically the enjoyer, but they won't take the Panchatattva. Right? So they're only choosing what parts they want. Right? So this is how you get, like we saw the Vedic philosophies, the six systems, is that you have where they're basing their philosophy on the Veda, but they only accept those portions of the Vedas that support their philosophy. Right? So, in the same way as they're taking the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, but only taking those parts of it that support their philosophy, their own interpretation. And so then they end up with, you know, all kinds of interesting kinds of things. Okay? So, but the important thing to note is, it means they're going to focus on Krishna as the enjoyer. I mean, Lord Chaitanya as Krishna, as the enjoyer. But the real drive or the motive for this is that they are the enjoyed. Right? So then they're trying to get something out of it by being enjoyed. It's not about pleasing Krishna. And in this way, in other words, for the gopis, it's a matter of they're presenting themselves to be enjoyed by Krishna, and their enjoyment is his enjoyment. But here it's that we're the enjoyed, so we get that flavor directly. Does that make sense? So it's totally mundane. It's not on the spiritual platform as far as how this goes. So the spiritual platform works on these subtleties. So you got these subtleties wrong, it's off. Right. Okay. So they've mixed up the doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Right? In other words, in the mood of Krishna, enjoying like Krishna, or in the mood of Radharani, separated from Krishna. It's two different things. Mm-hmm. Next quote. Doctrines like those of the Nadia Nagaris, a class of so-called devotees, are never presented by authorized persons like Sarup Damodar or the six Goswamis. The ideas of the Nadia Nagaris are simply mental concoction, and they are completely on the mental platform, right? Because it's just about enjoyment. Just about enjoyment, because he's a Nagar, so he can do what he likes, so therefore he can do this, he can do that, and so then they take their own part in it. Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that was previous one. Oh, that has a footnote. Okay. Adi Lila 441 purport, the footnote. Further quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, my Guru Maharaj did not approve the parties. They are called Gauranga Nagari. They accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but they pose him. Krishna is enjoying with the gopis. No, that is called Gauranga Nagari Bhav. No, Krishna has appeared now as devotee, so you must help him how he can become a best devotee, not that pose him into Krishna position. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in Vrindavan, so many people called him, "You are Krishna, you are Vishnu." He was doing this. Don't say like this, don't say like this, to warn future generation who would like to become Krishna's avatar, so-called avatar. Srila Prabhupada's lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 126, October 17, 1972. So it's a matter of they're imposing the wrong mood. Then next quote. There's a class of devotees called Gauranga Nagari, who stage plays of Krishna's pastimes using a vigraha, or form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mistake, right? In other words, it's Krishna's pastimes, but Krishna's dressed as Lord Chaitanya. So they're showing Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and so therefore he's enjoying in this way. No, it's... But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a mistake that is technically called Rasa Bhasa. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to enjoy as a devotee, one should not disturb him by addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. C.C. Adi, 710 purport. Okay. Yes.
I've heard the same argument applied as to why we shouldn't put a peacock feather.
It's amazing. I was just thinking. I hope this one doesn't come.
Sorry.
I don't get into this peacock. The point is that, but because we're worshiping through the pancharatric element, you know, as the deity, then the point is you're recognizing the element that this is Krishna, right? But it's not a matter of disturbing the mood. And I'll give one example, and hopefully that's good enough. Okay, let us say that there's something that the boy likes to wear. Does the girl have any problem, his girlfriend, does she have any problem wearing that? Let's say he has a favorite jacket. You know, and it's cold, and so then she wears the jacket. Does she have any problem? Does she think, no, now I've become my boyfriend? So what is the meaning of it?
Right.
Right. So therefore, the point is the tattva is he is Krishna, but the mood is he is Radharani. Mm-hmm. So Radharani won't have a problem wearing a peacock feather.
Okay.
That's one aspect. Two, if you look at the Goswami temples, look carefully at all the pictures of Radha Govinda and everybody else. Most of the time, Radharani is wearing a peacock feather.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because Krishna wears one, so she likes to wear it because it reminds her of Krishna.
Yeah.
So then again, it doesn't bother the mood. Third thing is that how does Krishna wear a peacock feather? Where did that come from? Right? You understand? Krishna was sporting, I think, with Kalindi. And Radharani came along. So then she turned back into the river. He turned into a black snake. Now who catches snakes?
Peacock.
So she turned into a peacock and defeated him. So then because of being defeated by Radharani as a peacock, then he always wears a peacock feather. So peacock feathers and Radharani, no problem. You understand? It's not a problem. And if you say, okay, well then only Lord Chaitanya, not Balaram or anybody else, Nityananda or this or that. The point, when the cowherd boys go out with the cows and they go into the forest, there's peacock feathers laying all over the ground. What do they do with them? They pick them up and put them on. The cows wear them. What's the big deal? The point is Krishna always wears them. The others may or may not wear them.
Okay.
It's not necessary that they wear them, but it's not that they can't wear them.
Yeah.
But Krishna always wears one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the thing is it's like this. If when Prabhupada was here, there were no peacock feathers on Lord Chaitanya. He didn't appreciate it. He didn't that. And after he left, and somebody was really determined, just thought it looked really good, started putting them on, then this discussion has a real meaning. But if they were always wearing peacock feathers and Prabhupada really didn't care, then what does that mean? It's not that important of a thing. So in other words, interpret it in that way that then supports. So it's not that he has to wear a peacock feather, but there's no problem. I mean, you look at all the old pictures. Any of the paintings when Prabhupada's here, Vishnu wears a peacock feather, Nrsingadev wears a peacock feather. That's why you know it's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The point is that when the gopis see Krishna as Nrsingadev, who are they seeing? Krishna is Nrsingadev. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say there's a drama and it's put on by people you know. Then part of the fun is figuring out who's what part.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's more soft, it's more gentle.
Yeah.
The thing is, you get all like this and that aspect, then when it comes to the Arctic, then, you know, hey, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So the rules that do matter, but then we don't care, and the ones that don't really matter, that becomes the make it or break it deal, you know. You know what I'm saying? So these things, peacock feather, the fall of the soul, these things, these are not actually important issues.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But they make them into it. They
yes.
become.
I didn't realize that people approached you.
Oh, I've been dealing with this one for, you know, I don't know, 25 years or something like that. The peacock feather thing. I always find this really annoying.
I see sometimes here they put two peacock feathers in Madhava.
Two?
Two. Not only one, but two.
So I mean, they're nice. That means any of the things, means all those things that are curly like this, those are just made out of single feathers.
Yes.
You know, so those are also peacock feathers. The point is he wears peacock feathers. Now, whether it's one or whether it's many or...
It's possible to put a few.
Yeah, you can put a whole bunch. Just they should look nice.
Yes, yes.
The point is he shouldn't look, you know, stupid. Right? You know, he doesn't just stick a peacock fan on his head or something. It's like, the gopis would be laughing about that. So, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's just main thing, it looks nice. He should have a peacock feather. Now, if Krishna didn't have a peacock feather, probably make a comment.
Yes.
But if Lord Chaitanya didn't have a peacock feather, he didn't make a comment. But if he did have one, it doesn't matter. Because Radharani sometimes wears peacock feathers. You know. Okay. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then last of these quotes on the top. A so-called party of devotees named Nadia Nagari has sprung up and introduced the worship of Vishnu Priya. This certainly indicates ignorance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In the opinion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such worship is a product of the imagination. Right? Because then Lord Chaitanya is there, and this is then his wife, so then that's, this whole, they overdo it. Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya, 14.7 purport. It's interesting here. A so-called party of devotees, a class of so-called devotees. What was the other one? Yeah, so, all these, it's just like, the person was asking him, what do you think of Ramakrishna? We don't think about him, like that. Or what do you think of Vivekananda? He's another rascal. Very nicely. Yeah, so. Okay, refuting the Gauranga Nagari doctrine. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1.5, Lord Chaitanya is described as Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalita, adorned with the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. End quote. Nowhere in any revealed scriptures he's said to be Krishna Bhava Dyuti Suvalita, quote, adorned with the mood and luster of Sri Krishna, which would support the Gauranga Nagari conception, right? In other words, there is nothing in the scripture that supports their conception. It's always saying, no, it's Radha Bhav, not Krishna Bhav. Spokesmen of this Apasampradaya not only say that Lord Chaitanya exhibited Krishna's enjoying mood, they claim further that Vishnu Priya Devi, the Lord's second wife, is Srimati Radharani, and that her close female friends are gopis. But as Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur makes clear in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan, Vishnu Priya Devi is actually Bhu Shakti, a form of Lakshmi, right? Because she's Bhu, right? Means what do you call it? Yeah. Like that. So you're talking about Sri and Bhu here. So that's not the mood of Radharani. So then now they're really starting to mix up rasas. Then you have Krishna dancing with Lakshmi Devi or with Bhu Devi. It gets a little wild. Because we know the pastime of Lakshmi would like to get into Vrindavan and do things, but she can't, because she's not about to give up her mood, right? Because her mood is, this is my husband, and he's doing such wonderful pastimes, I want to take part. But the point is these pastimes aren't about being the husband, so that's why she can't enter the pastimes. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So here it is you have Bhu Devi, and then saying that here. Now Varaha, now he's carrying Bhu Devi. That's his wife. You know what I'm saying? So it's Vishnu's wife, but not Krishna's wife. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then. Yes.
So I'm quoting this.
A little loudly?
Navadvip, there's Vishnu Priya Devi temple. Mm-hmm. Navadvip is also including this misconception?
I don't know what's their personal thing, but that's just her deity. Oh. Means the tree that Lord Chaitanya was born under, after Lord Chaitanya left, then was made into that deity. Oh. You understand? And that the tree that's there now, that was planted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's the spot. So once he established the spot, then he planted, because all that was growing there was Tulsi. So once the spot is established, then he put the tree there, because the original tree was this deity. Like that. So that's not a problem that she's worshipping Lord Chaitanya. That's not a difficulty. Like that. So, but whether the devotees there are Gauranga Nagaris or not, I don't know. I'm sure if it was up to them, they would be in control of that temple. Right? But whether they are, I don't know. Because there's a lot of groups of Sahajiyas to try to control all these different places. Okay. Vishnu Priya Devi is actually Bhu Shakti, a form of Lakshmi. The wives, mothers, and daughters of Lord Chaitanya's associates in Nadia attend Vishnu Priya in her bathing and dressing exactly as the maidservants of Lakshmiji serve her in Vaikuntha Dham. Their mood is different from the mood of the damsels of Vrindavan. Right? In other words, you can say, but you have to make a difference between the mood. Otherwise, you have you know, Krishna out dancing with, you know, Sita Devi, and, you know, Ravana has stole Radharani, and, you know, Ram is, you know, and then, how you say, and then Parasaram is going to get her back, you know, and, you know, you know what I'm saying? It just gets too weird. The point is all these different moods are to taste these different things, so you can't mix these. This is Rasa Bhas. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat is also very clear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's extreme gravity in his dealings with women, even with his own wives, what to speak of other women. Footnote 2. Quote from Chaitanya Bhagavat: the Lord was apt to indulge in indiscriminate, merciful behavior towards all, except that he never looked upon a woman, even by a sidelong glance. It is known to all the world that he did not even allow the name of a woman to enter his ear. Those who are his real devotees therefore never addressed Sri Gauranga as Gauranga Nagari, or the enjoyer of women. Although all forms of praise are applicable to the Lord, the wise only sing that which is in accordance with his nature. Chaitanya Bhagavat 15:28-30. So that means it was already present at that time. So it had already started. Right? Because he's come in the mood of a woman, so why would he look at women? You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't work. Right? He's there, he's married, you know, because he is Vishnu like that, so he can marry. But who he's married, that's why it's called Gaur Narayan. Right? It means up in the yog pit, the deity established of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where you have Lord Chaitanya with Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya, that's Gaur Narayan. Because, in other words, that's the aspect. He is the personality of Godhead by tattva. And then here are his wives. But as Swayam Krishna, he's in the mood of Radharani. You know, so depending upon the devotees, he would act differently. But then, if he is acting as the husband of the goddess of fortune, then it is as Vishnu. Right? And so then it's very formal. So this thing of having Lord Chaitanya with the gopis and this, that's all nonsense. Right? Even if you take that as a beginning, it still doesn't work.
Is it like the Nishadhikari only wants to worship Krishna and never Krishna's devotee?
Instead
of turning him into Krishna?
Well, it's more than that, in that they're wanting to be the devotee who is enjoyed by Krishna, who's enjoying the devotees. So it's not about even assisting the devotees serving Krishna. It's about being the one enjoyed by Krishna. Right? So therefore, it again comes down to, you know, sense gratification. It's just like that. Just they're a little bit more regulated than the general sahajis. Right? He never so much as looked at the village girls of Nadia, let alone smile or talk to them. Footnote 3. Quote, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never even joked with others' wives. As soon as he saw a woman coming, he would immediately give her ample room to pass without talking. He was extremely strict regarding the association of women. The Sahajiyas, however, pose as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they indulge in lusty affairs with women. In his youth, Lord Chaitanya was very humorous with everyone, but he never joked with any woman. Nor in this incarnation did he talk about women. The Gauranga Nagari party is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Vrindavan Das Thakur. Even though one may offer all kinds of prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should strictly avoid worshipping him as the Gauranga Nagara. The personal behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the verses written by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur have completely repudiated the lusty desires of the Gauranga Nagaris. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 12:2. Oh, okay, 12:2. Okay. I was expecting one more, but that's Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Adi is already. Because yeah, some will do 1:12:2.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, okay. But in the tradition of the Sahajiyas, the Gauranga Nagaris have invented offensive myths about Lord Chaitanya's supposed love affairs with a mistress named Kanchana, and other fictional consorts. These stories should never be heard. Kanchana. It's also in South you have the same thing, this aspect of Kanchana. With the Sringadev, there's some kind of also same kind of sahajiya distraction kind of thing down there. That Nrisimhadev has kind of a little fling with some local girl or local girls or something. Like that, you know. You know, before, you know, heading off. You know. just in the meantime. No, but why I caught is because I think their name is also Kanchana.
Oh, okay.
You know. So Does that make sense?
Because in that pastime, Lakshmi Devi is terrified of his form.
Yeah. And somehow or another, you know, the local village girls, you know, hey, you know, who's this dude? Hey, has he got money? It's usually big, all the demigods are here, you know. And, you know. Yeah, no, it's weird. So these stories should never be heard, right? So they just make these things up. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appreciated the manifestation of Krishna's mood in Lord Chaitanya in his dealings with Garadhar Prabhu. See, there it is. The ladies could be called Prabhu. Sri Garadhar was so meek and submissive that the Lord sometimes remarked to his confidential associates, quote, Garadhar is my consort in the spiritual world. Indeed, Garadhar Prabhu's spiritual emotions for Lord Chaitanya are described as Shuddha Gada Bhava Rukmini Devira, pure, deep, ecstatic love in the mood of Rukmini Devi. Right, so therefore it's going to be, you know, that element of right wing, very formal, everything like that. You know. In Antyalila 144 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur thus worships Sri Gaura-Garadhar deities in his bhajan. Here is an example of an internal flavor of attraction in an advanced devotee for a confidential feature of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But this is not a subject matter for preaching. Lord Chaitanya's preaching pastimes are relished in Sri Gaura-Nitai worship, as seen in ISKCON temples around the world. This mode of deity worship is performed to inspire the public at large to engage in Harinam Sankirtan. But in any case, the worship of Sri Gaura-Garadhar by the pure devotee has nothing to do with the rasa bhas of the Gauranga Nagaris. Right, so it's very different, yes.
But Garadhar is
named Krishna's Radharani. Is Radharani, but has that mood because Krishna is already taking the mood of Radharani. So then she takes the mood of, in this case, as it's mentioned, of Rukmini.
Why don't we say that they're just Rukmini?
Because it's Radharani.
So we take
what? Like Lord Chaitanya, we say he's Krishna, we don't say he's Radharani. No, it's Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So this is Radharani in the mood of Rukmini. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's Radha and Krishna, but each has their particular mood.
But this is another argument I've heard them make, is that you worship Gaura-Nitai because Harinam Sankirtan is your process. However, we're the more advanced ones who are doing bhajan and following the internal move of Lord Chaitanya's descent.
Internal move. But then the point is then Lord Chaitanya also followed the external mood. Mm-hmm. And so the point is if you're actually a follower of Lord Chaitanya, then why would you not follow the external mood? Mm-hmm. Why would you only follow the internal mood since Lord Chaitanya did both? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficulty, is that they pick and choose what they like, but we see that Lord Chaitanya himself, for the public, did preaching. He may sit and cultivate the devotional, you know, the elements of pure devotion with the devotees, not with the public. And then only with confidential devotees, then he would get into the intimate pastimes. Mm-hmm. But the point is Lord Chaitanya did all three. Mm-hmm. So they're technically dropping the first two. So one is they're preaching. You know what I'm saying? They are preaching. But the thing is then how is it that somehow or another that's not, you know, external second-rate Krishna consciousness? Mm-hmm. You know, but if we do it, it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And second, they're not cultivating the mood of pure devotion, so how are they actually going to get to that third position? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because as pointed out before, unless it's offenseless chanting, you don't get to prema. So it's just, it's not a matter of you do what you like and it all works out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And at the same time is, Lord Chaitanya is doing Harinam Sankirtan and Jagannath Rath Yatra, right? We'll call that Sankirtan pastimes, right? Mm-hmm. But then who is he thinking about, you know, in the kirtan? So that means you're doing kirtan, it doesn't mean you're not thinking about Krishna. Mm-hmm. So this, though saying to be advanced, this is extremely neophyte, that they can't even accommodate more than one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, how are they going to accommodate that? You know, Krishna and the gopis say one thing but mean something else. How are they going to accommodate this? You know, because they're only doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually very real. It's just that they're attached to the idea of enjoyment, right? But the soul's identity is not as enjoyed, is as servant. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? One's service is there, and so therefore, that's what creates Krishna's pleasure. Mm-hmm. But the point is Krishna identifies himself as servant of the devotees. Mm-hmm. So they just, the wrong mood is there. It's just that they want to enjoy. They found another way to replace. Okay, if I'm just doing material activities, then it's very obvious that it's mundane. But if I give it a so-called, the same enjoying spirit, but I just put some spiritual trappings on it, now it suddenly becomes spiritual. In this way, they're also a class of sahajya. Because they take the mundane and try to say it's spiritual. You know what I'm saying? It means, in other words, if I take the mundane and perform the activities of the pastimes of the spiritual world, then that makes it spiritual. No, those pastimes are for doing in your spiritual body. Not that if you do those pastimes in your material body, it becomes spiritual. Right? You have a spiritual body, you do those pastimes, it's ananda. You have a material body, you do those pastimes, you go to hell. It's two different things. You know, it's
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The man is out on the battlefield, you know, in a, you know, how you say, you know, authorized war, he shoots people, fine. But he comes back to the city, the war is over, he shoots people, he goes to jail. But he can say, no, but I was authorized to shoot people. Yeah, but you have to know the situation. So you want to dance in the Rasa dance, you have first have a spiritual body. Then you can do that. If you don't have a spiritual body, you're not authorized to dance in the Rasa dance. Yeah. You understand? So it's not a matter of, oh no, but it's you know, spiritualizing something. No, that's it's not a way of spiritualizing. Mm-hmm. Like that.
So we need to absorb ourselves, you know, in confidential pastimes, so that we have to be on liberated platform.
To absorb oneself in the confidential pastimes, we have to be on the advanced platform. Otherwise, how would one do that? Absorb means absorb. Doesn't mean you sit down to your fence for, you know, an hour or two, read, you know, nice pastimes and that, and then after that go home and go to bed with your wife. That's not what it means. You know what I'm saying? But most people who are all these quote-unquote rasiks, they're all grihasthas. So what are they doing at night? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. It doesn't work. Absorb means absorb, right? The teenage girl, she saw a boy at school she liked. How much the time of the day does she think about that boy? Huh? The whole time. Okay. Now, you know, so how are we? That is the natural spontaneous absorption in the Lord's pastimes. So when hearing a pastime about Krishna, you think about it 24 hours a day, then that's what we're talking about. You understand? So when you say, no, but we're supposed to absorb, yeah, but absorb means absorbed. So if it doesn't come like that, then that's not what you're supposed to. So whatever level you can be absorbed in. Right? Generally, we're absorbed in, you know, what's for dinner. Yeah, but it's prasadam, so it's Krishna. So in other words, that form of Krishna, we can very, you know, wholly and totally commit ourselves to. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's whatever level that we're able to fully be absorbed in. But the point is we don't artificially, it's not that we don't hear about Krishna's pastimes, but it's not that we say, oh, this is our bhajan and our cultivation. No, we're hearing pastimes, it happens to be these pastimes now. But if it's exclusively those pastimes, then you got a problem. Does that make sense?
So is it proper to call Mataji as a Prabhu?
What does that got to do with this class?
Question. Sometimes we see also in this class.
No, but what does it got to do with this class?
So I'm saying that's not...
That when we were discussing, you know, how you say, Manu Samhita, that's where you bring up that question. But this is Gauranga Nagaris. This is not the time for that question. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we have to learn that when we give an example, then we don't make the example the discussion.
Because that was mentioned, Gadadhar Prabhu.
That was my point. I say, okay, you know, just like, you know, this rock and this and that. And then, you know, what kind of rock is that? Where do you buy that? You know, like that, you know. Can we get some rocks like that? You know the chemical analysis. Why is it so white, you know? That's not the point of the using the rock as example. Mm-hmm. But that was a joke. Now, if you want to discuss comedy, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? Because even it's just. In other words, there is some letters where Prabhu was used. The point is generally someone else wrote the letters, Prabhupada signed them. Okay, maybe he didn't look so carefully, maybe he didn't care. But it wasn't that he said, no, call them Prabhu. Okay, Mataji, no, not Mataji, Prabhu. That's not what happened. And the point is, before that we see no examples, after that we see no examples. Right? Means, in general, means, let's see, look around, okay... Oh, okay, no, we have one nut, so... Okay, so for basically most everybody here, we're all coming from the more Malechan, Yavana kind of class, right? Have you ever heard of the words Mataji or Prabhu before coming to ISKCON?
No.
Right? Was it something that it was, you know, a general thing you've heard about it, but it may not have been, okay, so much what you were into, like in your particular circles? No. Okay. So, therefore, why did we hear about it? Because that's what was given by Prabhupada. You know what I'm saying? So from when I joined, they were Matajis. They always were Matajis. Right? Because if Prabhu had been the thing, then they would have been called Prabhus. Right? And if you want to get technically correct, the Sanskrit feminine usage of Prabhu is Prabhi. So now if you want to call them all Prabhi, great, go ahead. But why Prabhu? You know, otherwise next to hey, yo, dog, you know, like that, you know. Yeah, or you can do the inverse, right? Call all the men by the women's. If you know what I'm talking about.
The soul is feminine.
The soul is feminine, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there is a tradition, and so we follow that, and it's no big deal. And to try to misinterpret the meaning of the words, you know, Prabhupada uses Mother Jashoda, and it's used in a very respectful term. Now, if you want to say that calling someone mother is this, is a problem, okay, great. Do it. You can spend your life. If it gives you some value in your life that you feel you did something with your day, great, do it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, that's another question. You know what I'm saying? You know, because in India a lot of times then it's culture amongst the Hindus is you call other ladies that are not senior in that, you call them sister.
Didi.
Well, that's older sister. That's here in Bengal, Didi. But you also have, what is it, Bhang? Like that. There is, it's, you don't know these things. You're from South. Okay.
Assam.
Oh, okay. So that's from this side. Okay. So then... Okay. More tribals. Right? What are the club? What are the boys? Like
that,
okay. Okay, originally from North. Okay, he saved himself. Good save, good save. Okay. You know, almost ended up with us here. Okay. So then so the Prabhupada said, no, they're not sister, they're mother. And when I came to India, I saw it. I remember, because we were, you know, not so old, late teens and that. So you go to somebody's house, and you'd have the girls of the house serving prasad, because it was a very standard thing, is that all the adults are there, the girls will serve, because the idea is that when sadhus come, that the girls serve, they get piety, so that then when they get married, then they'll have all this piety in their marriage life would go very nice. Like you see, Balaram would engage Subhadra to serve. Ecstasy. To serve Arjuna, who is pretending to be a sannyasi.
Yes.
Right?
Huh?
Sorry?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So then. You understand? So is the culture like that. And these girls would be the same age as us, if not younger. But the mood that they had was the same as the older women in dealing and serving prasad and everything like that. So therefore, it's a culture that you call. So if you're saying, oh, you don't call us mother because we're not your mother, it says, okay, then what does that leave? Because you're not my mother, you're not my sister, like that. So, hey, you know, we got names. We got names. We don't know, it's not a problem. But the point is being trying to be respectful, then these are the terms that we use. Yeah. That make sense? Yeah, but you have to be careful. As Srila Prabhupada states above, the Gauranga Nagaris are on the mental platform. Their so-called mood of devotion is really just eroticism, a creation of their impure minds. Their wrong meditation upon Lord Chaitanya simply arouses their lust, and they foolishly take that lust to be spiritual ecstasy. Right? So again, it's not about Gauranga Nagar. It's about them as Nagaris. It's really not about, it's just an excuse. Yeah, because you can't spend too long on these guys. They're just the takes. You gotta keep it moving. Six, Saki Baki and Chudadhari. Rasa Leela imitators. Quote, okay, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only when one regains his original spiritual body can one enter into the spiritual kingdom. As for the Rasa Leela pastimes of the Lord are concerned, it is futile to attempt to imitate the Lord's dances within the material world. One has to attain a spiritual body like the gopis to enter into the pastimes of Rasa Leela. Simply by artificially imitating Krishna's Rasa Leela dance or artificially thinking oneself as Krishna and dressing oneself up as a Shaki, one cannot enter into his Rasa Leela dance. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 9.137 purport. Right? So that gives the idea. They think they're in the pastimes, so they imitate. Right? Shaki Baki means they actually dress up as gopis. Right? So you have these guys, you know, Babaji guys with, you know, the beards and everything, dressed up in a saris, you know. Yeah, it's weird. The confidential gopis are called Shakis. The word Baki is a corruption of the Sanskrit word Vaisha, which means dress. A Shaki Baki is a person, often a male, but sometimes females take part, who dress up like a gopi and imagines himself or herself as being enjoyed by Krishna. Right? So again, it comes back to this thing, element of being enjoyed by. That's the central feature. So that generates a lust. They think this lust is ecstasy. Right there. That's all. Shaki Bakis imitate Rasa Lila, sometimes by dancing with a person dressed like Krishna who wears a chuda, a crown of peacock feathers. This person is called Chudadari. The philosophy, okay, so that's why the two go together. Shaki Bakhi and Chudadari. Okay, now I get it. I was wondering, are the two, are they such close groups? No, the Shaki Bakhis dance with the Chudadari. Okay. Okay. The philosophy of these two types of Sahaji Apasampradayas is the same. Practically, the only difference is that one group is dressed like gopis and the other dresses like Krishna.
So they dress together?
It means they could do together, or, you know, the guy could dress up as Krishna and then he gets all the girls to dress up like that. Or they could all be like that and then, you know, so I'm saying it's just who starts the fun. Or they could, you know, be together. Right?
They could take turns.
Yeah, they could take turns. Yeah. It's too organized. Not enough Ba.
It's just annoying when two Krishnas show up. And they don't.
Yeah, that's the point. Now, what happens if you have to organize enough that two Krishnas don't show up. But then, no, at the same time, Rasa dance, you have more than one Krishna, so you could have all the Krishnas all the time. Okay. The philosophy of these two types of Sahaja Apasampradayas is the same. Okay. Lord Chaitanya taught, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arda Sabritya. Quote, the only controller is Krishna. Everyone else is his servant. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.142. Each jiva, or individual, spirit soul, is a tiny sample of Paraprakriti, the Lord's subordinate or female spiritual energy. But this sense of our, quote, unquote, being female does not have anything to do with sexual gender. We have temporarily assumed a male or female body as a result of past karma. The material covering does not reflect the constitutional nature of the soul. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, informs us that a soul is placed within a male body because of a strong attraction to the masculine form that developed in a female body in the previous life. Those who now have female bodies were males who were very attached to females in their previous life. This is all the result of material lust. So it's just a matter of going back and forth, right? Then you have the element that, okay, if the males are females who, having thought of the male at the time of death, became male, so then isn't it unfair, and the females are the ones who are male and now are female, isn't it unfair that they got to be called Prabhus and we can't be called Prabhus now? You know, it's like that, you know. Why is it they always get to be called Prabhus? You know, this is not equal, this is not fair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The soul, as a spiritual spark caught in the cycle of birth and death, is actually sexless, right? It's just feminine meaning the energy. It doesn't mean feminine meaning by culture of the cultural interactive, right? Because the cowherd boys are also energy, but they act as boys, right? The point is, as Krishna is the enjoyer, everyone else is servant. That's the feminine aspect. Does that make sense? So therefore, you can't convert it into feminine meaning the sexual orientation. Right. I'm just thinking, if, you know, this spread into the, you know, into the west of the big cities, then, you know, how is it? Now, if they attracted the, you know, the LGBTs, now how would they work all this out? You know, then it starts to get really, then it gets weird. I mean, this is already weird, but then it gets more weird. The soul, okay. But according to the ecstasy of devotion most enjoyed by the soul in relation to Krishna, the devotee's transcendental gender is revealed, as seen in the spiritual bodies of Krishna's eternal associates. For example, Matri Vatsalya, parental affection in the motherly mood, is feminine. And Pitri Vatsalya, parental affection in the fatherly mood, is masculine. Madhurya Rasa is purely feminine. To become established in the latter mood of love, one must develop the 11 sentiments of a gopi. Name, form, age, dress, the mood of a kept maidservant, and so on, under the direction of a highly realized Vaishnava. Right? So it's a matter of these sentiments and things like that, right? So that goes with the service, right? The yam kama krodha sahaja pranayari piti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai. Right? There's explaining, because of the mood of the devotee, therefore the form that matches that mood is manifest. Right? But the point is here, what's manifest is not because of the spiritual mood. This is because of our previous material mood. Right? So it's not that this is the spiritual form. It can be spiritualized by engaging in Krishna's service, but it's not generated because of the spiritual mood. So it would be wrong to say, this is my mood in the spiritual world based on this form. Right? And just taking a male body and dressing it up like a female doesn't actually make it female. Right? You know, it's just, you know. It means if you're 3 years old, okay. You know, but if you're bigger than that, then it's a problem. Right? You know, there's generally, you know, you dress the dog up, you know, and the dog comes in, and you know, like that. And, you know, it's a whole scene. To become established, okay. Even if one transcends the bodily conception and has understood Krishna and his own sarup in truth, he cannot fully participate, vastu or prapti siddhi, in the material rasa if even the slightest material attachment lingers in his consciousness. This is an explained at length in the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8139. Right? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, even you have developed the sarup, but if there's any, if it hasn't come to the point of complete absorption in Krishna, right? It means your purva rag, it hasn't come to the complete element of samadhi. You can't take part directly in those pastimes. Right? You'll be in braj. But until that mood has come, then it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So just because even you have the spiritual form and you've adjusted with it, right? But until that third stage of smarana dasa has come to the point of samadhi, you're not eligible to be in the pastimes. Because Radharani, how much does she think about Krishna? Some of the time? Most of the time? All the time. And with great intensity. What about her associates? Same. So therefore, if you don't have that kind of absorption in Krishna, why would you be with them? And Krishna, he's always thinking of the devotee, or just occasionally? Right? He's always thinking of the devotee. So therefore, how will it be interaction? How will you be intimate friends if you don't have the same mood? Does that make sense? Yeah. The prakriti sahaja contamination of the Saki Bakis and Chudadaris is grossly apparent. Right? As you mentioned, is that it's pretty apparent in Sahajiyas. Right? It's a little bit more covered in the Gauranga Nagaris. But in this, it's quite prominent again. I mean, I've seen it myself. I'm walking down the street. I mean, in Navadu, I think even in Calcutta once, you know, you're going along. And then, you know, you stop the light, you turn around, and there's a guy behind you that's got one of those little pearl things in his nose, you know, like that. And you're thinking, okay. You know. The Shaki Bakis think that Krishna is pleased by seeing their fleshy sack bodies, full of bones, blood, and stool, dressed up in saris, decorated with nose rings and ornaments. Right? Because it's not that, you know, you're not talking about, you know, Miss Navadweep here. You know, you're talking about, you know, some 40-year-old fat guy, you know, eating a lot of rice. You know, it's weird. It's weird. Okay. So dressed up in saris, decorated with nose rings and ornaments, with their hair done like women, with feet painted red, with faces shaved twice daily, but I've seen them without being shaved. It's even more weird like that. But, you know, here, okay, so they try to, if they're up on it, you know, that, you know. In other words, if they're chirpy, then they shave twice a day, and if they're grumpy, then they don't, right? Yeah. It's a good thing women don't grow beards, because in this modern age there'd be a lot of beards, right? You know, long beards. You know. Yes.
I've seen those guys on the train, and the next morning they look really bad. they drink and then they party all night, disturb everybody, and the next morning they pee. It's like so disgusting.
Don't they always look bad?
Huh?
Don't they always look bad?
Yeah.
No, they look really bad. It's just like, bad, really bad. Yeah. Oh no, that's it. You may be thinking of the eunuchs.
No.
Oh, you're talking about these guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Because the eunuchs,
then
they.
They had some weird parties. They disturbed everyone.
Okay, but then they're just having their own party, okay?
Yeah.
Because if they're eunuchs, then they don't have their own party, not there. They come up and harass you to get money.
Yeah.
They dress up like.
They terrorize weddings and stuff.
Yeah. No, they're actually supposed to be part of it. When Lord Chaitanya was born, then they come, and you're supposed to, you know, take care of him, pay him, and feed him, and stuff like that. It's just part of the scene. Mm-hmm. They've always been there, so it's just they have their spot. You know, just that nowadays people don't care so much, so then they get a little bit aggressive. Because you have to remember, they are men, so they can be aggressive. But, you know, so.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, singing in high falsetto voices and gestures with women's mannerisms.
Right.
The Chudadaris similarly think that Srimati Radhe Rani will become attracted to their rotting material bodies simply because they dress up like Krishna. Okay, so one is they're attracting gopis, the other attracting Radhe Rani, so in this way, you know. Lord Chaitanya gave clear instructions to Sanatana Goswami about how the physical body of an advanced devotee is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Quote, there are two processes by which one may execute Raghunuga Bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the Shastric injunctions, especially hearing and chanting. However, within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in his particular way. Right? In other words, he's come to that position. He is in the pastimes with his Sarup, but that's done mentally. Externally, he follows all the rules and regulations, especially focusing on hearing and chanting. Right? So it won't be any different. So this idea is that, no, we're more advanced, so then we're doing... No, the idea is Lord Chaitanya saying advanced means you look like a neophyte. Right? But now you're a real nice neophyte, you know. You're not the ones that get into arguments, don't want to do service, you know, like this and that and have, you know, like that. You're one that's nice and everybody likes and everyone likes to associate with. Yeah. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. The advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regulative devotee. So it's not he should follow in the mood of... It's not that the activity that they do is specifically what you're following. It's the attitude that they have in service that one follows. Does that make sense? He should execute service externally as a regulative devotee, as well as internally from a self-realized position. So in other words, external activities will just look like any other properly situated devotee. Thus, he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 2:156-158. The Shakyabekis and Chudadaris simply ignore these directions. Right? Because it doesn't say anything about dressing up as Krishna or gopis externally. I mean, we can read it again if anybody has a doubt. No, everyone's good? Okay. Some of these Sahajiyas argue that they are only following the example of Sri Gadadhar Das Thakur, who is different from Gadadhar Pandit of the Sri Panchatattva, who once walked through town with a clay pot of Ganges mud on his head, calling out that he had yogurt for sale and laughing loudly. Yeah, so then they should put a clay pot of Ganga water on their head and do that. Why are they dressing up as gopis? Right? It doesn't say he dressed up as a gopi. He just said he had a pot and he was laughing loudly. So then that should be their sadhana. Right? No?
And is that all he did?
That seems to be it. And so that's what I'm saying. That should be their complete, total sadhana. Right? So all this other stuff. The imitators claim that they can visualize their internal spiritual form by such external play acting. You know, but then that doesn't mean that you're very advanced if you have to go through all that to get, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's, yeah, no, it's just, wouldn't want to offend anybody. But it's like you have actors. You have the actors that get into the mood and everything and get down like this and meditate and that. And then there's those who just go on stage and act the part. You know what I'm saying? So you can't do, but the point is the other one is very mechanical. And in this case, not recommended. Lord Chaitanya doesn't recommend it. So if one follows the Lord Chaitanya, then one doesn't do that. And you know, and you only hear that he did it once. Right? So that means then they should work up to it, meditating and all like that. And then once in their lifetime, they walk down the streets of Navadvipa with a pot of Ganga water on their head, you know, laughing loudly and calling out that they have yoga for sale. You know, just like Muslims go to Mecca once in their lifetime. So once in their lifetime, they do like that, because he only did it once. But they overlook the fact that there is no instruction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or any acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that directs the conditioned souls to awaken their love to Krishna through speculative histrionics, which means
it's just displays of drama.
Oh, displays of drama, histrionics. Okay. As Srila Prabhupada said, quote, "If you want to cook, then you have to cook according to the method. You may have a pot and you may have a flame, but if you don't cook according to the method, you'll never get the food." He was referring to a story of the cook who had placed the flame on the floor and the pot near the ceiling. If you want the result, you have to follow the method, bhakti yoga, as it is. The Shakyamuni and the Chudadari take Krishna and the gopis very cheaply, right? So again, that's the Sahaja element. This is due to the influence of impersonalism, by which they think they become one with the Lord and the gopis through some imaginative meditation. Right? So it's still that impersonal element of becoming the same. Because we never become the devotee, we become the servants of the devotees. Right? Okay. This is due to the influence of impersonalism, by which they think they can become one with the Lord and the gopis through some imaginative meditation. But if even the goddess of fortune cannot enter into the Rasa Lila in her eternal spiritual form, even after ages of austerity, how will it be accomplished by a fool who merely dresses up his gross material body? Okay. Perfectly timed. Okay. Nice. I like going through these a little quicker. Otherwise, somehow or another, we really get stuck on that. I mean, I can understand the smartas and all that, but the sahajiyas who get stuck too long. Somehow or another, all kinds of questions. Okay. So who's next?
Atavadis, two great
ones. Atavadis, okay. Oh, this I didn't plug it in. Okay. So then we'll continue on Friday, the 19th. Right? Okay. So it gives you a little time. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainita Gaurakamala ki.